It's the weekend. You can do anything you want. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Work on a peace plan for the Middle East. Invent something truly useful like a machine that solves climate change while also picking up after your dog. But no, you've decided to spend your precious time on Earth listening to a bunch of white men talk over the top of each other. The world may be burning, but this is your me time. Welcome to Radio Chaser Platinum Edition.
Yes, welcome to Radio Chaser, the Platinum Edition. My name is Dom Knight, Chris Taylor and Charles Firth here. And guys, so many things happened this week. Prince Harry came to Australia and went straight to Dubbo, as far as I can recall.
Isn't that romantic? Because he's brought his new wife with him. He's gone straight to Dubbo, which of course has a zoo, so it'll be a lot like home.
Also in tech news, Amazon have come up with something truly amazing. Their workers had it hard enough. Now they're being locked in robot cages, Charles.
Yeah, that's right. It's an amazing invention, this. Basically, it's a robot with a cage, a human-sized cage, and you lock the worker in there, and they have to just stay in there for 12 hours.
Right. Did Peter Dutton design this scheme?
That's right. Yeah, but his ones were all kid-sized.
Right. All that and more coming up right here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
There's this wonderful story I heard about a government employee who was found to have submitted a rather surprising number of doctor's certificates, all of which were fake.
Oh, really?
Now, it's more than one. Charles, do you want to take a guess at just how many fake medical certificates this guy submitted?
I don't know, three or four?
29.
29?
So, yeah, 29.
How did this person not get sacked? Oh, look, if they had a chronic illness, sure, but 29?
It's a few sickies, isn't it? And I don't know how long each one was. But
Andrew, it makes sense, because once you've faked 25 doctor's certificates, you get a bit confidence. You get a bit cocky.
Yeah. I'll get a few more of these.
Who was this person? Who were they working for?
Funny. No, they're working for the most reliable above board person, Peter Dutton.
Oh,
a person who has no suspicion clouds cast over him.
My au pair gave me a cold.
That does now make sense, Andrew, though, because, you know, like, if your boss is literally a potato, you know, potatoes aren't known for their thoroughness.
You've got to try it on, don't you?
But you've got to wonder, though, I mean, 29 fake medical certificates, how gullible is this guy's supervisor?
Let's have a listen to how.
Played out.
Come in. Ah, Michael, you're back at work.
Sure am, boss. Always got my nose to the grindstone.
Don't you indeed, Mike? Yes, yes. Well, not always. I mean, this is the first week I've seen you in the office since
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. Christmas 2015, I think it was.
Yep.
Well, great to see you back on your feet. Feel any better?
Oh, yep. The cancer wore off.
Ah, looks like you got a nice suntan while in hospital.
Yeah, the intensive care unit's outdoors.
Now, you don't happen to have a
Medical certificate? Here.
Thanks, Michael. Great. I'll just add this to the pile of 28 other medical certificates you've given me. That's all in order. So,
You want something?
No. Just wondering why all these certificates are written in crayon.
Oh, I've got a very young doctor.
Right. And you know, why did he write them on the back of aeroplane tickets to Fiji and Bali?
Standard medical forms.
Right. All good then. Now, Peter Dutton's wondering, how's that work going on clearing up the au pair fiasco?
Oh, it's all fine. Dutton acted completely above board in all matters.
Oh, bullshit! There are some things even I don't believe.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Ah. Huge controversy at the US Open as Serena Williams got docked an entire game and lost, therefore, the US Open, which means that she hasn't caught up with Margaret Court in terms of number one.
Imagine being Naomi Osaka. I think 20 years old Japanese player wins her first ever slam, first ever Grand Slam won by a Japanese person and is in tears because of all this thing going on with Serena. All this arguing about who was in the right. She's done something amazing. Imagine if that young Aussie had won it, who beat Roger Federer.
Yeah. Well, that would have been amazing if he'd won the women's Open.
That would have been a
very
remarkable achievement.
I've already forgotten his name. I feel terrible.
But look, I'm not going to go into the issue of whether it's right or wrong what Serena Williams did. I'm not going to get into that gritty detail because
you aren't a tennis umpire.
No, because Serena Williams has said it's an issue of feminism, and I'm too scared to enter the debate.
Oh, yeah, don't talk about it, Charles. Change the subject immediately. Can we talk about chess or some other game?
No. Why don't we do a whole lot of facts about tennis?
We can't get in trouble for that, can we? I don't think we can.
Fact that's amazing.
Okay, did you know tennis is an incredibly noisy sport thanks to each player raising a racket?
Fact.
Oh, God, maybe we should talk about Serena. Anyway, sorry, Love 15 is a tennis score and Warnie's idea of a great night on Tinder.
Fact.
There are four types of court surfaces: grass, clay, nails, and the sexiest one, jelly.
Fact.
Tennis balls were originally white. Nowadays, they are coloured, much to the disappointment of Margaret Court.
So very factual.
Mixed doubles is a tennis format played at Grand Slam and Warnie's idea of a great night on Tinder.
So very factual.
Wimbledon is played on grass courts, except for this year, because Elon Musk smoked them all.
Fact.
The average ball boy at Wimbledon is 15 years old. It is therefore inappropriate to make any jokes about how they spend all day handling their balls.
Fact.
Yep. Anyway, Rebound Ace is a popular tennis playing surface and Warnie's idea of a great night on Tinder.
Fact.
Rebound Ace? What?
Rebound Ace!
Oh, I saw. I see.
You had to be there.
Very good. Okay.
It wasn't very good. It was a thing.
Did you know the first step in serving is to toss the ball? Nick Kyrgios is said to be a massive tosser.
Fact.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Amazon, as you know, has just launched in Australia, and the first photos of their massive warehouse came out over the weekend, and it is massive. It is the biggest warehouse in the Southern Hemisphere. Apparently, if you work there and you have to go and pick stuff off the shelves, you walk 30 kilometres in an 8-hour shift.
How extraordinary.
30? Really?
Amazon in the US has actually gone one better than that.
How do you beat the biggest warehouse in the Southern Hemisphere?
I don't know. You built one in the Northern Hemisphere.
Is there another hemisphere to go? I don't know.
No. Well, they've actually... So they've got a whole lot of warehouses like this, but they've now patented a design, this is honestly Drew, for a cage robot that they are going to lock their workers in. The idea is that they've built this robot and on the top of it is this cage and it's a sort of person-sized cage.
So what? So they want their workers to get into a cage operated by a robot?
Yes. And then the idea is that then the robot can control where you go to pick the stuff off the shelves.
So you're kind of just zooming around the warehouse in this moving platform
cage thing, which you can't escape from. Which you can't escape from. There's a lock on the door of the cage.
Is there a little urinal in the corner or something? How does that work? Is it like how do you do a smoko?
No, actually, but that's one of the things they said is, this will make it safer for people to go to the toilet because they'll be able to go directly to the toilet, through all the other robots, which apparently is incredibly dangerous if you do it on your own.
Because I read this thing about how the one in Australia was actually, workers really hated it. And if you didn't get the stuff off the shelves fast enough, because they're all casuals, they're all temps, you just get a text saying, oh, don't come back the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not fast enough. So this is making it even harder in a way.
Yeah.
I think we've got some audio, don't we?
We actually have some audio from the first day of the new recruits coming in to use the sort of cage robot system.
Welcome to the Amazon warehouse. By working at Amazon, you're at the forefront of a high-tech revolution so customers can buy cheap shit from China. Right, that's the inspiring pep talk out of the way. Now, if you could all just hop into a robot cage each, and I'll set the door to lock you in there for the next 12 hours.
What the hell? Hey?
What?
Okay, now just press the green button and the robot will take you around the warehouse and you just grab stuff off the shelf. Any questions?
Couldn't the robots do this themselves?
Yes, I suppose they could, but then who would we lock in all these cages? We spent a lot of money on them. And anyway, what would we feed the robots?
Sorry, what?
At the end of your shift, we crush your bones into a fine powder and then mix them with your blood to create a nutritious paste for the robots to feast on.
Really?
Yes, but don't worry, it's painless.
Oh, okay.
No, hang on, this is an outrage.
Any other questions?
How many toilet breaks do we get?
Another good question.
No, that's not the question. No, you're all missing the point. They're locking us in robot cages. They're literally feeding us to the robots, all to sell cheap shit from China. No, the real question is, how big is our employee discount?
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
I am scarlet with royal fever because...
Hello, Scarlet.
It's been an... G'day. But it's been announced...
It's luckily you're not a royal with scarlet fever. Yeah.
And they all had it, didn't they, over the century? Anyway, a couple of them are bringing their scarlet royal fever to Australia. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are going to be touring Australia next month. It's the biggest tour on the rock tour schedule.
Bon Jovi and Prince Harry. Harry's slightly ahead of Bon Jovi.
That's right. Now, but a lot of people are still talking about this particular tour because the royals are visiting, you know, some of the places you'd kind of expect. They're spending a lot of time in Sydney. They're going to go to Melbourne. But... one of the more unusual destinations that they've chosen, and I'm trying to get my head around why this might be, they're going to go, Harry and Meghan are off to Dubbo. Yeah, they're off to the Dubbo. Town of Dubbo what? In New South Wales.
Dub Vegas.
I reckon I know why. Because I actually really like Dubbo. Yeah. And
have you been to Dubbo?
Yeah, I've been to Dubbo. And I reckon they're going there for the big rhino.
Is there a big rhino there?
Is there a big rhino there?
Yeah, which I reckon is the best big thing in Australia because it's the only one that's slightly smaller than the actual thing that it's representing. The big rhino is almost as big as an actual rhino, but not quite.
The other interesting thing about that is, I mean, and I haven't looked into this, but as far as I understand, Dubbo's not known for its rhinos.
I think I know why it is. I think he said to the tour organisers, I want to go to the Vegas of Australia. Mm. And they went, well, there's Bris Vegas and there's Dub Vegas. And he went, which one's closer to Sydney? Dub Vegas. I reckon he's been horribly misled, but he's still going to get his clothes off.
Yeah, I reckon it's actually because Megan was asked.
Oh.
And she always likes to look better than everyone else, you know, when she goes somewhere.
More stylish.
She should have come to Radio Chaser then. The ugliest radio team on earth.
Yeah, I think even Prince Harry's going to scrub up pretty well by comparison when he goes to Dubbo, yeah. I think. Well, look, no, actually, I've got the reason here. I think the main reason they're going, he's got a bloody great big zoo in Dubbo, one of those open plains safari zoos. And I think they're going to be hopping on the truck and driving around. The zoo themselves got very excited about it. They've actually done put together a little report put together by one of their zookeepers. Take a listen.
G'day, my name's Ken. I'm a keeper of the Western Plains Zoo here in Dubbo. Let me show you around to see how we're preparing for the royal visit of Prince Harry. Now, Harry should be comfortable here because he has something in common with our animals. They're both very accustomed to being photographed in the nude. Now, they say a leopard won't change his spots, but as you can see, we've changed the spots on our leopards to swastikas at Harry's request. You might have noticed our grassy plains are a bit bare today. Well, that's because our keepers are harvesting all the grass, so Harry will have enough to smoke. And that there, that's the reptile house. The Queen asked us to lock Meghan Markle's father in there to keep him out of the way.
Let me out! The alligator's got my arm!
So, we're nearly ready for a right royal visit, and all that's left is to load these guns so the royal hunting party can shoot all our giraffes in the head.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Blunt Talk with Gary Muggs. He doesn't just call a spade a spade, he bloody smashes you in the head with it.
G'day Australia, Gary Muggs here.
Muggs in the know.
The closed mind lines are open. Hello, Blunt Talk.
Hi, love the show. Hate immigrants.
On you, mate.
What about that tennis thing with those two ladies?
Yep, time has sorted out that Serena Williams mess. Now, I don't need to know what happened to know who's in the wrong, which is lucky because I haven't watched it. Serena is in the wrong.
Blunt Talk.
But what you won't hear from the politically correct snowflake softcock squad is that the Japanese player's in the wrong too, and the umpire. They're wronger than a gender-whispering ballet performed by dull, bludging refugees.
Marto in the know.
So what should they have done?
The US Open women's title should have been won by an Australian man, John Millman.
Blunt Talk.
You're a legend, Mugzo.
I know. Stay with us. Scott Morrison's coming on so I can tell him what date to call the election.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Andrew, the biggest story in the world.
Oh, look, people are still banging on about the Serena Williams cartoon. The Herald Sun have doubled down. They've got a whole front page complaining that they're not allowed to do cartoons anymore. And they've proven this by publishing an entire front page full of cartoons. I mean, it's really a big story. But I think there's nobody better to tackle this very thorny issue than Radio Chaser's very own in-house shock jock. Smashing sensationalist reporter Firth!
Firth with the facts.
G'day, I'm Firth, and I've taken it upon myself to weigh in on that Serena Williams cartoon. God knows it's about time someone had an opinion on it.
Explain it to me, Firth, in your hot explaining voice.
The question is it racist to draw a racist cartoon of a black person looking like a racist gorilla with enormous racist lips?
I don't know, Firth. Is it?
No, it's not racist at all. Let's take a look at some gorillas. The thing is, they do have big lips, and one would jump on a tennis racket if it lost the US Open.
Your logic is impeccable.
I mean, would you expect a cartoonist to draw a giraffe with a short neck?
No.
Or a giraffe with only four legs?
They do have four legs.
Exactly. It's all the same thing. Still, the frowny-faced, fun-fudging PC laugh lynchers say this.
Meh, there's a nasty history of these cartoons in America.
Is there? After watching some old Pixar movies, I couldn't find any examples. So much for history.
Hi there, Firth. I'm a professor of history at Harvard University.
Not impressed. See? Guns don't kill people. I kill people. Besides, this is Australia. Our history doesn't have black people in it.
Actually, Firth,
I thought you were dead, Mr. History Man. The News Corp's straight noggins agree they were just satirising Serena's boo-hoo behaviour.
Wait, how many legs does she have? I'm confused.
Ultimately, if we can't laugh at how black people look, what can we laugh about? There is literally no other subject in the entire world.
QED, Firth.
As always, I'm Firth with the facts.
I wouldn't call those facts.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Hey, wine buffs, fancy a drop of rosé?
Oh, I like rosé, but isn't it a bit girly?
Not anymore, mate. From the makers of Lady Doritos comes another new product that can finally be enjoyed by the opposite sex. Rosé for men.
At last.
We call it Brosé.
That sounds masculine, yet classy.
Go on, chug it down!
It's fruity and delicious without undermining my fragile masculinity.
Oh, this rosé isn't for the girls at the book club. Brosé is pink wine for blokes.
Oh, don't call it pink. I said my masculinity was fragile.
Brosé. Look for the black bottle with the bleeding skull on it.
Is the wine itself any different from regular rosé?
No.
Thank God, I adore rosé.
Brosé.
I mean, brosé.
Radio Chaser. Platinum Edition.
Guys, incredible news story here. Alan Jones and his radio stations have been ordered to pay $3.75 million in damages for some broadcasts that they made. It's the biggest defamation payout in the history of this country. And the news is, in case you're considering it, you can't say that somebody killed somebody if they didn't, because then they'll sue.
Damn, that's really bad. Well, that's bad for us.
Yeah, but, that's a real pity.
Yeah, it's bad for radio announcers around the country.
It's terrible. I had lots of people I wanted to broadcast who just killed people today, and they hadn't, and I thought it would be fun, and you just can't.
You can't say anything anymore if you can't say that.
Look, I was listening to Alan Jones this morning, and they're being very cautious. Well, almost everyone.
2GB.
I'm Alan Jones. Now, the courts have awarded a record defamation payment against me and this radio station today, $3.7 million. And I can't even say what I think of that moronic And I've put on my angriest pink tie today. I'm that riled. And I will say this because it's a disgrace. And I call upon Scott Morrison to change the defamation laws in this country so I can say that kill the people. They'll probably sue over that too, those in a woodpile. Well, I plan to speak my mind. I don't care if I have to move out of my penthouse and live on Struggle Street like all of you. Wait a moment. Yes, I do. Legal team, can you beep that bit out, please? Thank you. I'm Alan Jones, and I'm guilty.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Barnaby Joyce. He's had a rough time lately. He's, you know, the kid, the whole thing, losing the deputy prime ministership. And what he tried to do to kind of resuscitate his career and his personal brand was to write an autobiography. It's called Weatherboard and Iron. You might have seen him plugging it on every single show in the country for about a week or two. The stats have come in, the official book scan sales stats. He sold 1,570.
I mean,
How did he possibly think that a book where he describes in intimate detail his sex life was going to sell more? Like who in Australia? Well, obviously, 1,500 people want to hear about that. That's a turnoff.
Yeah, that's more than I thought. Because I remember in the interviews, he was like, oh, look, before I hooked up with Vicky, I was like playing around with other women. And I just went, actually, no, I turned the radio off at that point.
That's right. This shouldn't be a tell-all. He should have gone around the country saying, this is not a tell-all book. This is a book
it's
where
a
I don't...
tell-nothing
yeah,
book.
This is a tell-nothing. He would have sold tons.
Sad thing is we all know his sex face, don't we? It's the beetroot. We've all seen it in our nightmares. But look, he is doing better than the Mark Latham Alan Jones cookbook, which has sold, I think, 752. So that's something. No, 754, I apologise. Apparently all the recipes are from Latham. Jones just wanted to help him out. Anyway, look, Barnaby Joyce is keen to up sales and he's put out an ad. We're going to play it for him just to help him out. Here it is.
G'day, it's Barnaby Joyce here, former deputy PM and staff shagger. Now, only 1,570 fair dinkum Aussie legends have bought me book, Weatherboard 9. Mind you, I haven't believed numbers since they said the globe was warming when Armidale's still as cold in winter as my ex-wife. I don't know why nobody's buying the book. It's full of stuff about my political beliefs and my childhood and... Oh, yeah. Actually, sounds duller than a Scott Morrison prayer meeting. Still, I've got to move more copies. My child support payments are bigger than my hat, so you better bloody buy it, Australia. Or I'll be forced to make a living the way we do on the cattle farm by selling my semen for stud. Actually, there's an idea. Five kids and counting. Get yourself some Joyce Juice, Australia. Every child comes with 1,000 free copies of my book.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Strawberries, this is quite an extraordinary story. More details keep coming out about this massive recall, and Woolies certainly affected first of all, and it's sort of widened. But a disgruntled ex-employee could be to blame.
What a surprise. When I've heard that they thought maybe a disgruntled ex-employee was sticking the sewing needles into strawberries, I thought, oh, that's such a surprise that would be the suspect. Like, you know, there's so many other people who would have the opportunity and motive to do that. Like,
what employee of a major supermarket chain sews when they're not stuck in shit? Like, I kind of get heroin needles. Or, like, of all the needles, like, who's bringing their knitting to work to sabotage the groceries?
Yeah, it'll be an 85-year-old disgruntled employee because she's the only person who has some sewing needles.
I always thought a sewing needle was too big to put in a strawberry. Like, aren't they enormous great things the size of your arms?
Well, that's a knitting needle.
No, not a sewing needle. Okay, this explains everything.
I mean, has anyone checked the kiwi fruits? Are there any knitting needles in those?
Or the watermelons.
I actually applaud the disgruntled ex-employee who's done this, because we've had a lot of cases of sabotage over the years, lots of things being recalled. This is the first time I can remember that someone's actually included the means to repair the hole that it makes in your gut. So, yes, okay, you've got a ruptured abdomen, but there's a sewing needle right there to get you stitched up in no time. It's very thoughtful.
Maybe it's a surgeon who's doing this.
But I must say, I do applaud Woolworths on their quick action on this, because I feel that their new marketing campaign has really lent into the crisis.
Hey, kids, here's some fruit.
Oh, strawberries again, Dad.
Are your kids getting sick of the same old fruit day after day?
Try them, son. I think you'll be surprised.
Ow! Oh, what the...
Coles has its little shop collectibles, but at Woolworths, we're putting the excitement back into fruit with the new Little Sharpies range.
Ow! Hey. Wow, I got a sewing needle in my strawberry.
I got a mini syringe in my banana. It's so cute.
I'll swap you my mini sharpened nail file for your mini shiv.
Little Sharpies, collect a lot before they run out and you bleed out.
I only had the switchblade to go.
At Woolworths, the fresh blood people.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.